Estamos na Halacha Sof Sukkot, na Dalet Mem. Rashi and Avches and Makis interprets in the Gemara that not only is it a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah during the 7 or 8 days of sukkah, he was in the chutzpah sitting in the sukkah for 8 days. It's also a mitzvah to build the sukkah. Asiyas HaSukkah is also there. How could that possibly be a mitzvah? You know that Asiyas HaSukkah is not a mitzvah? Because the Nesiv has in his commentary on the Shulchan a big Kiddush based on this Rashi that we have mitzvahs in the Torah. Now we have what we call Hechsher mitzvah. Yeah, for example, when you buy the lulav, that's a Hechsher mitzvah. When you buy the Esri, when you build the Sukkah, when you prepare your mitzvah, when you get everything ready, that's a Hechsher mitzvah. So there, within the area of Hechsher mitzvah, the Nesiv distinguishes between a Hechsher mitzvah Hatsubah Batara and a Hechsher mitzvah Shenek Tzubah Torah. Hechsher mitzvah Hatsubah Torah, for example, is Asiyas HaSukkah. But the Gemara comments on the pasuk Chag HaSukkah Tasa L'chol Shivas Yomim V'yos B'chol Negon Echol V'yikvecha, that although the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is Chag HaSukkah Tasa L'chol, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkah Shivas Yomim, you should celebrate 7 days. At what time of the year V'yos B'chol Negon Echol V'yikvecha, at that season of the year when you're gathering in the food Migarnacha from your from the tour. The garden is the place where you throw the tour. From the Yikvecha and from the pit where you have the wine. So although that's the Pshutish on Mikvah, the Gemara Darshan is another Pshat on the Pasuk that you leave out the word Chag for a moment. So the Gemara Darshan is another level of interpretation. Sukkah is possible, you should construct the Sukkah. Shivas Yomim should be strong enough, sturdy enough to last for 7 days. That'd be a Sukkah Haruya L'chol Shiva. And the Sukkah should be constructed. Sukkah should be constructed means there's a din of tassav lemon osing on the stuff. And the Sukkah should be constructed from the stuff. Not that you should celebrate Sukkah at the season of the year when you gather in the grain or the wine. Rather, you should construct the Sukkah with the soul that's going to be left over. Straw, but with the branches that are left over after taking off the grapes from the branches and after taking out the kernels of grain from the tua. So the only problem is in this new level of interpretation of the pasuk, what do you do with the word chag? The pasuk would read fine if it would say sukkah stas alachah, you should construct the sukkah shivas yamim sturdy enough to last for 7 days, you should construct it with baz b'chol megonah chafet, but the word chag is in the way, so it's more darshan no. Chag asukas means that the chag means a korban chagiga. Chag in Hebrew doesn't mean a holiday. It means biblical Hebrew. Chag today means any holiday. You have a chag asmicha, you have a chag shorim, you have a chag pa'urim. Chag is called chag pa'urim, a holiday of the festival of life. But in biblical Hebrew, the word chag means a yontif on which you offer a korban chagiga. That's why the Ramos says in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkos that on Shmini Atzeres you shouldn't say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh, because there's no korban chagiga offered on Shmini Atzeres. And the davening should be spoken in a biblical Hebrew. The tefillah should be in a biblical Hebrew. That's what the Ramos says. Others disagree. The Vilna Gaon disagrees. He says that Rashi intends to say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh. It's good enough for Rashi intends, good enough for us. Either Ramo is right, but it's only a yontif on which you bring a korban chagiga. So since you do bring a korban chagiga on Shmini Atzeres, it doesn't have its own korban chagiga, but you can bring chagiga as a tashlum in for sukkah. The deal is that if you didn't bring the korban chagiga on the first 7 days of sukkah, you can still offer the sukkah to the chagiga on Shmini Atzeres. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. If the Nusa says drinking in the Siddur is okay, and you say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh, but the Ramo picks on this Nusa and he doesn't like it because he tells us that Shmini Atzeres is not called a chag. The word chag means a yontif on which you bring a korban chagiga. And the original word chag means the carbon chagig. So the Gemara comments on this pasuk, sukkah tasalach shivas yamim, we should construct the sukkah that should be stirred enough to last for 7 days, and the sukkah is called chag. Chag and sukkah is hyphenated, but the sukkah is lachag, ma chagig, just like a carbon chagig is asura bahano, it's a carbon, and if one would be nana from the carbon, he would be violating nisa me'ila. So too, the Gemara says the sukkah is asura bahano, called shiva. If the sukkah is over, so it's no longer hooked to the mitzvasoi. You can do whatever you want with the schach. But during the 7 days of sukkah, the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah. So that's the Gemara's new shot in that pasuk. That although the pshuta shal mikra means chag sukkah tasalach, you should celebrate the holiday of sukkah for a period of 7 days during that time of the year when you gather in the stuff from the farm, at the end of the summer season, in other words, in the autumn and the fall. The Gemara has another level of interpretation, a drasha that it refers to constructing the sukkah. So the Nitziv says, according to the drasha's chachamim, this pasuk is telling us that Asiyas HaSukkah has a special status, not the same as buying the schach, not the same as buying a lulav. Buying a lulav is not mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't say. I remember one year, Sukkahs fell out on a Monday. Is that possible? I think it's true. Sukkahs fell out on a Monday. And I remember one of the fellows who was selling a sregen put an advertisement in the Anglo-Jewish newspaper that everybody should come to his shop on Sunday and have sukkahs and buy the service. They put in a little kachtel machen by Yom HaRishon. Should buy your sregen on Sunday by Yom HaRishon. The yeshiva guys betaling stuff, the kursus. It's a cute advertisement. It's very cute, no? It's better than the PR stuff that they put out. So there is no drasha that purchasing the lulav and the esrig, that's not mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't say you should buy it. It's understood. If you won't buy it, you won't have a lulav and esrig. It doesn't say you have to buy this stuff. It's understood. If you don't buy it, you won't have it. It doesn't say you have to buy a talus. It's understood. If you don't buy tefillin, you won't have it. But Asiyas HaSukkah is mentioned in the Chumash. Or the Ksivas HaMezuzah. Or Ksav Tom HaMezuzah Tesef HaShirah. It's written in the Torah, you should write it. If I write a mezuzah and I don't put it on the door, I don't have the mitzvah. The mitzvah is putting it on the door. And yet, the writing of the mezuzah is mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. Or Ksav Tom HaMezuzah. Or the tying of the strings of the tzitzis onto the garment. That says, how does it say in the Torah? V'yosu lahem tzitzis halkan v'vigdem. The mitzvah is not v'yosu. If a guy ties his chutim, a fellow ties the tzitzis onto the garment and he doesn't wear the garment, he's not yet to the mitzvah. It's only yet to the mitzvah when he wears the garment. The tying the tzitzis onto the beged, tying the strings onto the garment, is really only a heksha mitzvah, but it's a heksha mitzvah hakosu batorah. So the Nitziv claims, based on this Rashi in Makkos, that Tes and Aleph, that's what we're learning this year. Those who can't tell. Based on the shurim. So Rashi has to learn in Makkos, Daf Chesem and Aleph that Asiyas HaSukkah is a Heksha Mitzvah HaKos HaBatar, and therefore it has a special status. So Rashi comments, what is a special status? That we say Mitzvah Boy, Yosem B'Vishlucha. That's what the Nitziv points out on this Rashi. Whenever you have a Heksha Mitzvah HaKos HaBatar, it has a special status over and above a different Heksha Mitzvah. Stop buying the Skacha, buying the Lulav, then you don't say Mitzvah Boy, Yosem B'Vishlucha. But Asiyas HaSukkah, putting the schach up on top of the sukkah, then the Nitziv points out the Rashi on Chesem and Aleph that you apply mitzvah bel yosef and mishluch. Then the Nitziv has a few other nafkaminos of dinah. Just the schach. Well, the dinah, sukkah tasalach, tasav levin osur, only refers to the schach. Doesn't refer to the gefanis. The question is the chagas sukkah, so the sukkah shlachagigim, the sukkah is also bahanoa kol shivo. So that's a machlokes is the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says that the whole sukkah is also bahanoa kol shiva, not only the schach, the tfanis as well. And the Rosh disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't understand why should I say that the tfanis are hooked to the mitzvah. So that whole pasuk, sukkah, tasaloch, shiva, siyamim, and so on, etc., only refers to schach. Tasav lemon also, shiva, siyamim should be sturdy enough, the osbuchah should be made from cells growing the yekeh. All the dinim in that pasuk only refer to the staff. Nothing that refers to the tfanis. So why should the hook to the mitzvah refer to the tfanis? No. The Rambam is a problem with the Rambam. Rav Chaim has a whole piece on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam hold that even the tfanis are hooked to the mitzvah? It's a different question. But the pasuk only refers to the staff. The mitzvah is asiyas haschach. The staff should be put up by the person himself. So the Nitziv points out this finish that a Heksha Mitzvah Kosabatera, he points out, has four milas. With respect to four halachas, we give it a semi-status of a mitzvah. Status of a semi-mitzvah. Why does it say mitzvah by Yosef? Secondly, he says there is an opinion in Yerushalmi that the Bavli doesn't hold like. When you sit in the sukkah, you say Hashem Kedushan Amin Mitzvahs Mitzvah Noleishe Bas Sukkah. When you construct your sukkah, do you recite any bracha? So the Gemara says in sukkah you recite a bracha Shechianu. Why not? If I build a new house, I say Shechianu. I always say Hakoneh Bayis Chodesh. Hakoneh Beged Chodesh. You say Shechianu. If you make a new beged, you say Shechianu. If you build your own house, you say Shechianu. Normally, a guy doesn't build his own house; he's not a constructor. But if I built my own sukkah, then I say Shechianu. If I make a dog house, or if I buy underwear, then you don't say Shechianu. But if you buy a sukkah, that's considered like buying a chashuva house, even though it's a tiny little hut that you hardly use at all, but that's considered a shibis, because you use it for the mitzvah, that's considered a kona bayis chadash. So the Gemara speaks of saying shechyonu for the hasiyas ha-sukkah. The Gemara says, Mikra, then you should really say shechyonu when you construct your sukkah, if you're making your own sukkah. I make a sukkah for somebody else, so then he should say shechyonu. Whoever the balabas of the sukkah is, whoever the owner is, should really say shechyonu, like kona bayis chadash. But the Gemara says that our practice is that we say the Shechyonu on the Asiyas HaSuk until we say the Kiddush on Yontif at night, and then the Shechyonu that we say on Yontif and on the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah, the mitzvah comes from year to year. So whenever you do a mitzvah that comes from Mizman Mizman, from year to year, you say Shechyonu on the mitzvah. So we save the Shechyonu for the Asiyas HaSuk until the time that we recite Kiddush to be Misadred Alakos. So the Maisa, we don't say the Shechyonu b'shas Asiyas HaSukkah, even though we're making our own sukkah. Do you say any other bracha on Asiyas HaSukkah? So the Bavli doesn't quote any bracha at all, just Shechyonu, and we say the Shechyonu till Kiddush. But Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says you do say a bracha. You say a bracha, Shekedushonu b'mitzvot mitzvonu al Asiyas HaSukkah. And of course Tosfos says we don't pass like that because the Bavli holds not so. There is the opinion of the Yerushalmi is alluded to in the Bavli in another context. The Gemara in Menachos in Perakat Chelis quotes that there was an opinion that when you tie the strings of the tzitzis onto the garment, you say Avraha Shekereshonim and Tzvos Tzivanu, not lihisatev b'tzitzis, and not al mitzvah tzitzis, but you rather say the bracha alasiyas tzitzis. And then the Bavli says we don't pass like that. That the only time you say a bracha on mitzvah is when it's gemar mitzvah, when you're doing the kima mitzvah actually, the actual kima mitzvah. But if you're only doing the Hershem Mitzvah, even though the Hershem Mitzvah is Pasuk HaTorah, the Torah speaks of Asiyas HaTzitzis, so the Torah speaks of Asiyas HaSukkah, Hanochas HaSar. Nevertheless, you don't recite any bracha on the Hershem Mitzvah. So the Mitzvah points out, but there is an opinion. There is an opinion in the Bavli B'negiyat HaTzitzis, and the Rishami has the B'negiyat Asiyas HaSukkah, that the Hershem Mitzvah, Pasuk HaTorah, has the status of the semi-mitzvah B'negiyat to this prat, that you say Brichas HaMitzvah as well. We don't accept that. Then the Nitziv Kaimah is a third enough community. No, the Gemara says explicitly you don't say the bracha al asiyas at tzitzis b'shas asiyah until you put on the tzitzis. And then you say l'hisatav b'tzitzis or al mitzvah tzitzis.
I have to
You don't apply the final mitzvah.
You don't apply the that you prepare for Shabbos
if you
want someone else.
Right, preparing for Shabbos is the mitzvah, that's not a Hashem mitzvah. That is a mitzvah itself. No, Oinik Shabbos is the eating the food on Shabbos. And Kvot Shabbos, right, and Birak Dor, the Kibbutz Yoneh are the two mitzvahs that are mentioned in Yeshayah. The Rabbi writes there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos. Kibbutz Yoneh, Gam Edibri Kavor, and the Pasuk in Yeshayah. Zalchav Hashomer are the two that are written in the Pasuk. So what is the basic thing, Kibbutz Yoneh? So the Zohar Gaon explains in Hilchos Yomtov and the Bir Agor that Ode means enjoyment on Shabbos. It didn't mean for half an hour in advance of Shabbos. The cooking the food on Erev Shabbos is the actual means. Getting married is probably Hashem Mitzvah Kosovo, but Kiyik Yechashish. Either for Hashem Mitzvah, it's an actual mitzvah. The Ramam Shikas, the getting married is an actual mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. It's very good if he's one mitzvah. And getting married is a different mitzvah. Even if a guy's not going to have any children, still a mitzvah. He's able to get married. You can find and even conquer the rush. Getting married is just a Heksha Mitzvah, but it's still a Heksha Mitzvah on Tzumba. So that's also
interesting. Yes, being a patient, it's a different company. It's a different
say whatever you want. But I just said the Vilna Goyim. Vilna Goyim says that this is the chiddush in Kibbutz Yoneh. It says the only thing is the enjoyment on Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the hakonas done in advance on Shabbos. That's what Vilna Goyim said. You should say other children. Aruch Hashulchan has a different halacha, slightly different from the way you said. Aruch Hashulchan I think says that Oinig means physical pleasure and Kibbutz means the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere at the Yamashah. Different distinction. This is what the Bir Agor says. The Nesiv gives another two nafkaminis ladina between a Hechshem Mitzvah Kosovo Torah and a Hechshem Mitzvah Sheni Kosovo Torah. He gives another nafkamina with respect to the klal of ha'isit b'mitzvah tatam and ha'mitzvah. The Gemara says in Sukkah that kosvi svarim tefillin mezuzas. A sefer who's busy writing sefer Torah, or one who's tying tzitzis onto garments, we would apply the klal of ha'isit b'mitzvah tatam and ha'mitzvah. So he wouldn't have to go get involved in other mitzvahs. Doesn't have to be mafsik for davening. Strange. Because he's doing the mitzvah, doesn't have to go be mafsik for other things. So the question is why? But he's not doing any mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah to sit and write film, he gets paid for that. It's a mitzvah to tie your tzitzis. It's only hechsher mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. So the Nesiv claims that since asiyas ha-tzitzis and sivas ha-tfilin is a hechsher mitzvah ha-kosav ba-teira, because it says achsavtam al-mezuzos, it says we also have tzitzis, therefore it has the status of a semi-mitzvah. With respect to the klal of ha-isik mitzvah, patam al-mitzvah, we declare the kaisvei svar and tefillin and mezuzos, and those who tie tzitzis also as an isik mitzvah. That's what the Nitziv says. Kosvei tefillin? Kosvei tefillin, yeah. Even though it only says in the Chumash, Uchsavtam al mezuzos, it only speaks about Ksivas and mezuzos, so he patches that up, because the Gemara says that svar and tefillin and mezuzos all have the same din. There's some kind of a hekesh that gives them all the same status. Because the Gemara says in Gittin, Afim Ham and Beis, that an Isha cannot write Sefer Torah tefillin on mezuzos. Why? Because you need, Nishi Yeshna Mikshira, Yeshna Miksiva. Because the two psukim are written one next to the other in Kriyashma. It says, Kshatim los al yadecho. Then it says, Uchsavtim al mezuzos beisech v'sharecha. So since women are potter from tefillin, so therefore the women are possible for writing a mezuzah. So how do you know a woman is possible for writing a sefer Torah or for writing tefillin? Maybe she's only possible for writing a mezuzah. That's all it speaks of in the Chumash, Uchsavtim al mezuzos. So the Nitziv points out, this is a Nitziv at the end of his beer on the Shilkis, the end of Chumash Dvon, one of the last Nitziv. So he explains that you see from that Gemara in Gittin from Hamid Beis, that Sivas, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah all have the same din. That since women are possible for writing Mezuzah, so who are the Nami the possible for writing Sefer Torah and Tefillin as well? And it shows other Gemara's also like that, that there's some kind of a hekesh existing between Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. This part of the Nitziv you can link that with the Isik, the Mitzvah, you can say that it's not, this is not a din, one is Mekayim and Mitzvah is Potkan and Mitzvah. You can say one is Leig, Mesasik and Mitzvah. The Rishonim have it, but the Rishonim don't seem to hold like the Nitziv on this part, but that's what he says. That a hechsher mitzvah kasbatera has a status of a semi mitzvah, and he claims a chapta nafkamina and a geta isik mitzvah. Then he gives a fourth nafkamina with respect to nishba lebatulos hamitzvah. The Mishnah has a lashon in shvuah. If a person takes a shvuah, he's not going to like tefillin. If a person takes a shvuah, he's not going to sit in sukkah. He's not going to eat matzah on Pesach night. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says a shvuah, so that's nishba lebatulos hamitzvah, and that constitutes a shvuah shav. The shvuah is not binding. It's not valid at all. He doesn't have to have hatara on the shvuah, and he gets malchus for making such a declaration, for taking such a shvuah, because it's called a shvuah shor. But sisa Hashem Hashem lekech l'ashor means you're not permitted to take a shvuah shor. So the Mishnah gives us an example of one who takes a shvuah shor. And nishba levatul sam mitzvah, he says lulav sheni noitel. Okay, then it says he's not going to eat matzah, he's not going to like tefillin. Then it says sukkah sheni yoisa. The fellow takes a shvuah, he's not going to make a sukkah. What kind of law is not going to make a sukkah? She says sukkah sheni yoishiv. So the Rambam changes it, and the Rambam quotes the Mishnah. The Rambam gives a different example. He says sukkah sheni yoishiv, but in the Mishnah it says sukkah sheni yoishiv. He paraphrases the Mishnah. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know. But the literal reading of the Mishnah is sukkah sheni yoishiv. So the Nitziv says, yeah, it's good according to this Rashi and Markus Dafes, because asiyas ha-sukkah is called according to the drashas chachamim on that pasuk chag sukkah stas alaf. It's a hechsher mitzvah hakosav ba-teirah. So therefore it has the status of a semi-mitzvah, so that would also be called the nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. Even though, let's say, if a fellow swears that he's not going to buy schach this year, that's not a nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. His wife can buy the schach. Someone else can buy the schach. He'll sit in someone else's sukkah. He swears he's not going to buy a pair of tefillin. So he won't buy the tefillin. That's not a nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. Someone else can give him the pair of tefillin. He can see to it that he borrows someone's tefillin. That's not nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. But if he swears that he's not going to make the sukkah, means he's not going to put the schach on top of the sukkah. The literal reading of the Mishnah Shavuos says that that's called nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. Why? But there's no mitzvah to put the schach on. The mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah. The mitzvah is to sit in sukkahs, on Yom Tov sukkahs to sit in. But the Nitziv says no. The literal reading of the Mishnah is also good, because the asiyas ha-sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah kos bater, and it has the status of a mitzvah ben agir too. Nishba levatulos ha-mitzvah. He can, but he will be losing this mitzvah of asiyas ha-sukkah.
Where is that Mishnah?
The Shavuot, the end of Shavuot.
Since the whole idea of the Hashem Mitzvah is, I'm not sure if you're Mitzvah, since you're going to be kind of Mitzvah anyway without your Hashem Mitzvah, so Why is it considered bottles in it?
It's a good time. It's a good time. That says Kiddush.
There's going to be this missionary saying in Shaykh by
Ohad. That's why the Netziv claims that if you have the ability to do it and you have the time, you shouldn't buy a ready-made talis from the store. You should buy when the SOI has the Netziv's drive, you should buy the baguette, you should buy the chutzin and tie it on yourself. He says that that's a hechsher mitzvah kosabot there, you should tie it yourself. The person knows how to write mezuzahs. He knows how to write ksav and he has time. So the proper thing is, he should write his own. You don't say you should hunt your own animals and you should skin them and you should tin. You should make a parchment out of the leather. If someone else does that, that's okay. You don't say mitzvah b'yezim b'shluchai on all of those hachanas that are not written in the Torah. But as far as the ksivas ha-mezuzah, as far as the kshiras ha-chutim, as far as tying the strings of the tzitzis, or as far as hanochas ha-schach, these are hechsher mitzvah kosvah Torah. Then we say mitzvah b'yezim b'shluchai. Of course, the Prima Gaudim says in Hilchos Pesach by B'digas Chometz that when you have a kol of mitzvah b'yezim b'shluchai, we don't require that you should do the entire mitzvah from A to Z. If you do a mikzas, it's also because you're also yes mitzvah yeshluchai. He says by the biggest comment, of course you say mitzvah yes mishluchai, you should be baiting your chametz yourself. But if you can't, then you should appoint a shliach to do it for you. So the Prima Gaudim says, if you can do, let's say, be baiting one room, and then you have a 25 room home. But the guy have a 48 room home. The Russian embassy, what was that? Had 48 rooms in their house. So if you voided one room, there's also mitzvah yes mishal. You're not mechuyev to be voided all of the rooms. So over here also, by the sukkah, you don't have to, you're not mechuyev mitam, filu mitam the Rashi and the Afres. The mitzvah yes mishluchah, you're not mechuyev to put up all of the schach. If you put up a little bit of schach, that's also sufficient. How much is called a little bit of schach? How much is called a little bit? So in Shulchan Aruch they have a klal. There is a machlekes b'sham and b'silel in the Mishnah, sukkah, daftesim and aleph, whether the asiyas ha-sukkah must be lishma. In order to be kosher, the schach must be put up the shem mitzvah sukkah. So chag sukkah stasa loch. So Beisham and Misil both interpret asiyah sasukkah. Sukkah stasa loch. So Beisham I say sukkah stasa loch the shem choy vascho. That you have to make the asiyah sasukkah. Hanocha sasach must be the shem mitzvah. So if a goy puts up the schach, will be no good according to Beisham. It has to be put up the shem mitzvah. And we don't pass like Beisham. We pass like Misil. It doesn't need a hanocha lishma. That if a goy puts up the schach, or if a woman puts up the schach, even though women are potter from the mitzvah of sukkah, and whenever you potter from something, so if you did, you can't create lishma. So it doesn't matter because they still say you don't need hanochas haschach lishma. You don't need lishma. What do you do with the word chag sukkah stasa loch? What do you do with the word loch? The Gemara says lmuti gzulo. The schach hagozel is no good. That's machlokes b'sham v'sil. How do you darsh in the word chag sukkah stasa loch? What do you do with the word loch? They still say that loch means that it should be asiyah lishma. And B'sham say you need asir l'shma, and B'sil say no, that it's not necessary. So the Rishonim Aram, even though B'sil disagree with B'sham, and they say that a sukkah that's made by a goy is kosher. I remember my father used to have a shul in the Bronx, a big Orthodox shul. A few blocks away was a gigantic conservative shul, a very big conservative shul. So the conservative shul got a new rabbi, and they had the sukkah on the bima. Inside the shul. So the chazan would say Kiddush and inside the shul. So once it happened that the sukkah fell down in the middle of Yom Kippur. So the goy, the janitor who took care of the shul, put up the sukkah again and they put on the schach and everything. So the chazan, who was there for many, many years with the old rabbi, said, how can goy puts up the sukkah? How can it be? It's not kosher, goy puts up the sukkah. He asked the new rabbi. So the rabbi said, it's okay. The new rabbi said, it's okay, it doesn't matter. So he didn't like that psak. How can be a goy made the sukkah? An oral makes the sukkah. How can be that discussion? So he came to complain to my father. One of my father was the local Orthodox rabbi to say that the sukkah in the conservative shul is no good. So my father asked him, where's the sukkah? So he told him it's on the beam inside the shul. So he said, it's no good anyway. But he says, no, forget about that, rabbi. Forget about the building. It's inside the building. No, I don't know. If a goy makes it, my father told him it's a mishnah. He said, don't matter. If a goy makes it, it's kosher. Couldn't believe it. The chazan couldn't believe it. How could it be a goy makes a sukkah? That's the Gemara. It's machlek of b'sham and b'sil. When you need asiyah sasukah lishma, if you need asiyah lishma, so goy is daita de nafshikov. You want to say the goy can ever make anything that is lishma. Only the only person who makes something lishma is one who's who's yeshna b'teiros. One who's mechuyev in that mitzvah. One who's not mechuyev in that mitzvah can't do anything lishma. So the goy doesn't have the mitzvah of sukkah, so he can't make a sukkah lishma. According to b'sham, the sukkah that was made by the goy is taken no good. The Beishamai Shita, the sukkah is not good. But according to Beisilel, that's the opinion that we follow Beisilel Shita. So if a guy makes a sukkah, it is good. Nevertheless, the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that l'hatchila you should have asiyas haschach v'shmo. Let's say if the goyim here, usually every year the goyim put up the staff on yeshiva sukkah. So even though the goyim put up all the staff, and the sukkah will be kosher, but l'hatchila you should have the yisrael put up the staff. So the shorim say, how much staff do you have the yisrael put up? So some shorim say it's enough if the yisrael puts up a tefach al tefach, which is very little, a square of 4 by 4 inches. A tefach by tefach of staff is very little. You have a gigantic sukkah across the street. So the Iker Adin, if the goy puts up the schach, the whole thing is good. And the Hatchili Shav, he saw put up a tefach al tefach. So that's the same over here. The mitzvah by Yisrael is a mishlufay. You should put up the schach yourself. You shouldn't rely on someone else. If you put up a tefach al tefach, that'll be enough for this mitzvah. Gemara in the end of Kiddushin has also an interesting comment that's quoted La'aloch in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham, one who's mamunah parnas al tzibur, is not permitted to do malacha b'farhesi. Is not permitted to do malacha b'rabim. For example, I don't know. Let's say his house fell down. So the house needs painting on the outside. So he's going to put on his dungarees. And he's going to stand in his undershirt. And he's going to start painting his own house. So it's not nice. It's a bizarre that he should do the work for himself in public. He should get someone else to do the work for him. Or let's say go shopping in public to carry all the stuff. So the Gemara says it's not right. So the Gemara says, however, what happens? Asiyas hasukkah. What if he's going to build his own sukkah in public? So the Gemara says at the end of Kedushin, it's quoted in the Shari Tshuva. And Hilchas Sukkah, I think it's the first Shari Tshuva. That the Talmud Chacham is committed to do the asiyas hasukkah even in public. Aye, but he wears his dungarees. He starts banging in nails and he's schlepping schach and so on. They said, that's okay. That since this is a mitzvah, Ledvar mitzvah, this din doesn't apply. This is along the lines of the Nitziv. Since it's Asiyas HaSukkah is the Hechsha Mitzvah Kasa B'Teira, so it has the status of a semi-mitzvah when it gets to certain halakhs.
Is halakha of Kabbalah's allowed to put up the sukkah? It's
not for them, it's not for you. They don't distinguish. That's Shaila. According to the Nitziv's Mahalach, it should only be limited to the staff, which is the easier part of it. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tiny, but it says he's allowed to put up the tfanis. Pashtas says he's allowed to put up the tfanis.
Which one?
I don't know. We mentioned the other day when we were speaking in the yeshiva about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah that in general the klal is Lo Yidashin and Taimid Ikro. Whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah or the Torah gives an isur, even if you can figure out what the reason for this mitzvah is, what the reason for the isur is, and one specific situation, the Tama mitzvah doesn't apply, you have no right to say that therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply. He gave the example, let's say the Torah forbids us from eating pork. And we all know that the Rambam writes in the book that this is for health purposes, because you can get trichinosis. So if you buy your pork in the Ein Din, it says that if you cook it to such a high degree of, with such a high heat, then you won't get sick, then it'll kill all the germs or all the worms or whatever there is there. So then there's no chash or trichinosis, so then you should be allowed to eat machalos asuris. So the din is, no, but we say, loydashin atayim edikrot, that even though we assume we know what the reason for the mitzvah is, we know what the reason for that bear is, and we have a situation where the tama mitzvah doesn't apply, we say, loydashin atayim edikrot, that figuring out timing for the mitzvah is not considered one of the midrash ha-tarnet reshes, it's not a drosh. It's important to do it, it's a chenek of tama Torah, to try to figure out what is the moral or the ethical principle that the Torah is trying to teach us. Whenever you sit in sukkah, whenever you do any mitzvah, you're supposed to figure out what lesson am I supposed to learn from this mitzvah. But after you figure out what the lesson is, you cannot say that that moral or ethical principle should regulate the application of the mitzvah. And whenever the Tama mitzvah doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So it mentioned that the Gemara says in Yevamos and in Sanhedrin and several other places that Bamedvam Amurim, when we say that, Loi Daishina Tami Likro, that the Tam for the mitzvah does not regulate the applicability of the mitzvah, that's when the Tam is not written mefurish in the Torah. But when the Torah writes the Tam mefurish, then the Gemara says Darshina Tami Likro. Then I say that whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah taka doesn't apply. The Gemara and the Post can give a few rare instances. In all the 613 mitzvahs, there were less than 10, maybe less than 5, but the Torah has the Tam mefurish Likro. So here the Bach, in the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, comments that regarding Yeshiva Sukkah, he says that Shina Taimikra, the Torah gives the Tam of Furish in the Chumash. It says, Basukah Teshu Shvas Yamin, Kol ha'esach b'Yisrael yesh ba'asukas l'man yedah derasechem kebasukas ha'shavta yis b'nei Yisrael. Once you also hear it, the Torah says that the reason for sitting in sukkah is man yedah derasechem. No, but that everybody should remember that when b'nei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim and they were traveling in the midbar for 40 years, basukas ha'shavta yis b'nei Yisrael. They were living in sukkahs, whatever that means, and there's a machlokes ha'tanaim, whether it refers to sukkahs mamish or refers to the special heavenly protection that they had due to the Anani HaKovid. So the Bach says that since here we say Darshin and time of the Kroah, the Torah writes the mitzvah, and the Torah says the reason right next to the mitzvah. So here, the reason for the mitzvah is essential for the Kima mitzvah. Whenever the reason won't apply, then the mitzvah won't apply. So the Bach says over here, if a person sits in the sukkah and he doesn't have in mind the Tama mitzvah, he wouldn't be yours. The Bach has this cloud. It's based on the Gemara. Whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah, and it gives the Tama of the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah, you have to definitely be mechavim for the Tama mitzvah. If you're not mechavim for the Tama mitzvah, you're not yet to the mitzvah.
All time?
No. Let's say a guy sits in a sukkah for 4 hours, so for 1 moment, for half a minute, you should look up at the schach and have in mind that the sukkah sa'a shabbat in the mitzvah. That's all. The chassidim have your hirotz in that mitzvah. So it says in the hirotz, it's only for a day. But that's the purpose of the hirotz, in order to have that kapara. Some parts can say that that's bris mila also. It's considered the mitzvah bris mila is considered tama furish b'kroah. The idea of the bris mila is os bris kodesh. So that's why the moilim, many moilim are machmir for that. So they scream out os bris kodesh before they do the mila, that they should have kavana for the tama mitzvah. Tama mitzvah being that every Jewish boy should have an os bris on his body. An os bris kodesh on his body. What is the shear for the sukkah? So the Gemara has a machlokes ha'tanaim, how big the sukkah has to be. The Gemara has three shittas. The Sil shittas that the sukkah has to be 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. The Shamash shittas is that the sukkah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. That's how we paskin. This is one of the 6 cases where we paskin like Veshamai. The Mishnah in the beginning of the first parak in Shabbos gives Yudches Dover 18 cases where there was machlokes Veshamai Vesilo, and they came to a vote. And on those 18 issues, on that one day that they had the vote, Rabbi Beishamai al Beisilu, the Beishamai with the majority. So the Mishnah says we pass like Beishamai in the 18 cases. But then, in addition to the 18 cases, Taisus and Sukkah Dav Gimel and Aleph quotes the Rav Amram Goyen that there were an additional 6 cases where we pass like Beishamai against Beisilu, even though it's not really recorded black and white anymore, that's Pesach. So this is one of them. The Beisilu sheet is that the Sukkah, the minimum size of the Sukkah should be 6 by 6 Tochim, and Beishamai sheet is no. Has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, he passed my Beshama. And then Rebbe has a different sheet that the sukkah has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. That's a different story, because Rebbe holds that the sukkah has to be Diras Keva Beinam. And a Diras Keva has to be Dalet Amos, like a room in order to be Chayv in Mezuzah has to have Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos, or a house in order to be Chayv in Ma'ake has to be a house that's used, it has to be Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos. And the Gemara gives a whole list of dinim where you have to have Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos. According to Rebbe, a sukkah is also considered a regular room, has to be diras keva, so it has to be dalet amos al dalet amos. But the Gemara says we don't pass like that, we pass that a sukkah has to be a diras aroi. Not only doesn't it have to be a diras keva, if it is a diras keva, it's possible. The Gemara says there is a machlekes rabbeinu in the Rabbanon, the first Mishnah in sukkah. What if you have the schach, lamaylam yesrimam? The schach is so tall, it's above 20 amos from the floor of the sukkah. Let's say if I have a sukkah on top of the roof, the roof is lemaila me'esrimam, but the schach is within 20 amos to the floor of the sukkah that I'm going to be sitting in. That's okay, provided the schach is not above 20 amos from the floor of my sukkah. It doesn't mean from the ground level of the earth; it means from the floor of my sukkah. So the first Mishnah in sukkah records the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding sukkah shehigvay lemaila me'esrimam. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher, and the Chachamim says that it's pasul. So the Gemara gives three different interpretations for the psul, the point of the Rabbana. Why did the Rabbanon say that it's no good? So the Gemara gives one time because L'man Yed Dereseichem Kibas Sukkos Hoshavti sounds like the Bach, that when you sit in the Sukkah, you have to be able to lift your eyes up and see the Schach and remember by looking at the Schach that Hashem protected Bnei Yisrael when they were traveling in the Midbar, Bas Sukkos Hoshavti, and if the Schach is L'mayla Me'esrim Mamo, L'sholta Be'ein, it's so tall, it's so high, you won't be able to see it. Unless the Gemara says it's such a long Sukkah, such a Sukkah G'dayla, that even if you sit normally like this and you look straight ahead, you'll be able to see the schach. But if the small sukkah, the schach is so tall, you won't be able to see it. And then the Gemara gives another tam, that's the more popular, that the generally accepted tam, that if you make the schach l'mayla me'esrim mamo, it's psula because it's a diras keva. And we pass in a sukkah must be a diras aroi. We pass in that if you make the sukkah diras keva, it's psula. It has to be dafka diras aroi. And Rebbe Shita is Pung Faker. Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that the Dafka, the Sukkah must be a Diras Kerev. It's a Diras Aroi, it's no good. So the halacha, the din is that a Sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin Tzoch. The Gemara says, like Bishama, the Gemara says that there's really a double machlek is Bishama Bisuk. Mordav Jimlam and Allah says in Sukkah, there's a double machlek is Bishama Bisuk. The Sukkah Gdoilo of the Sukkah Ktano. The Sukkah Ktano is a machlek of what is the minimum size of the Sukkah? Vav al Vav Tfachim at Zayin al Zayin Tfach. Vav al Vav is Kedei Rosh Berubo. Zayin al Zayin is Kedei Rosh Berubo Vishal Khan. So we pass it like Bishama that it has to be Zayin al Zayin, Rosh Berubo Vishal Khan. But then the Gemara says there's another machlek is Bisham and Bisul, which is sometimes Nogel Adina for us. What if you have a big sukkah? It's Vav al Vav Amos. It's 50 Amos, 100 Amos. It's big enough for sure. It has more than the minimum shear according to all the shittas. But you happen to be sitting in the sukkah, Rosh HaRuv of the sukkah, the Shulchan of the HaBayis. And the table on which your food is inside the house. Let's say I'm sitting like this. I keep on sticking my fork out to take the food. And I take the food from inside of the house, outside into the sukkah. I keep on sticking my fork through the window or into the doorway, take the food and sit like this. So that's another machlekes b'sham and b'sil. So b'sil say, what's wrong? As long as you're sitting in the sukkah, what do I care if you keep on sticking your hand out of the sukkah? As long as you're sleeping and you're eating and you're doing everything in the sukkah, it's okay, you can take the food from the house. And b'sham and say, no, there's a gzeirah d'rabbanan. We're afraid, shema yimashech, achasudasa. We're afraid that just like the food is over there, so you may lean out. It may mean Rosh Aruba outside of the sukkah in order to eat the food. It's a bother to keep on putting the fork in and taking it in like this. So since we're afraid of it, maybe now, so we don't allow them to sit in the sukkah. So the Gemara said, these are the two machlekes in Bishan and Bishil. One machlek is the sukkah Gdoilo, and one machlek is the sukkah Ktano. Now the sukkah Ktano, it's clear from the Gemara, the Tosfos makes it clear from the Gemara that we pass like Bishamai against Bishil. That the minimum size of the sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin and not Vav al Vav. That's the assumption in the whole parak, the whole shemar. Nobody even says a word about Vav al Vav. They reject completely Shittas Beisilo. Our beloved Beisilo has been rejected over here. Pass like Bisham that it's Zayin al Zayin. The only shot is what about the other din? The Machlegis Bisham and Beisilo. That sounds like the Machlegis on a level of their Eisim. But the minimum size of the sukkah is Vav al Vav, Zayin al Zayin. The Pashtas is that it's Machlegis on a level of their Eisim. What's the minimum size of the sukkah? But the other Machlegis Bisham and Beisilo. If you have a sukkah gdoila, but you're sitting Rosh HaRuv of the sukkah, the Shulchan B'Sech HaBayis, and that's a machlekes on a gzerah d'rabbanon, that B'Shamai make the gzerah, B'Sil don't make the gzerah, that's already a big major question. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlekes the Rishonim, the Rid, another Rishonim, do we pass him like B'Shamai there as well? The six cases, in addition to the Yud Ches Dov, in addition to the 18 cases, we pass him like B'Shamai in another six cases. And the six cases that we pass him like B'Shamai, does that include both of the machlokes in Bisham and Bisil, both Bisukkah Gdoila and Bisukkah Ktana, or only Sukkah Ktana? But Sukkah Gdoila, we don't. That's a shaila in it. So the ma'aseh b'machlokes. I mentioned before the Gemara derives from the pasuk Chag Sukkah Tasalach Shiras Yamim, that the pasuk is referring to Asiyas Hasukkah. Tasav Eloi Minho Asui refers only to the staff, and then the pasuk continues Bi'os B'cham Migarnacham Yikvecha. The Gemara darshans that also, not that you should celebrate Sukkot at this season of the year, and the autumn is the fall time when you're gathering in the stuff, but rather b'yaspecha means it's a noun. It's not a verb. At the time of the year when you're doing asifa, no, it's a noun. But osef shalcha, with the stuff that you gathered in, the schach should be constructed, schach should be made up, should consist of osef gorem v'yekam, so is gorem v'yekam. So the Gemara derives from that pasuk the three conditions for schach to be kosher. It has to be gedulei karka, it has to be something that grew from the ground, it has to be kolush, has to have been detached from the ground. If you have a sukkah under the tree, so it's and you're using the tree, the branches that are still mechuber, as the schach, so it's no good, it's still mechuber. And thirdly, it has to be davar shein mekabel tumah. It cannot be something which is mekabel tumah. What's mekabel tumah? Ochlin. Has to be gedulei karka. You can't use metal, you can't use bricks or stones. And it can't use plastic. And secondly, it has to be tolush, it has to be detached from the ground. If the branches are still attached to the ground, it's going to look. And thirdly, it has to be Dovshin of the Kabbal Tumah. The Pasuk speaks of the Yasbacham, the Gornacham, the Yikvech. It doesn't speak of the actual Gornam V'yekev. The actual Gornam V'yekev, the grain or the fruits or the grapes on the Kabbal Tumah. But the Psolus Gornam V'yekev, the branches or the straw that's left after removing the kernels of grain or the branches, after removing the grapes from them. That's what you're supposed to use for the schach. So that's double shein of mekabel tumah. Whatever is mekabel tumah is no good for schach. Because the Gemara says, for us, b'chom the Gaon HaMikdash, I mean, b'osef from the Gaon and the Yekiv, not the Gaon and the Yekiv itself. The Gaon and the Yekiv itself is the kernels of grain and the grapes and the wine, the thing that's also left in Kabbal Tumah. But the osef Gaon and the Yekiv means the straw that's left after taking out the kernels of grain, or the branches left after ripping off the grapes, so that's Gaon and Kabbal Tumah. Those are the three conditions when that Torah that are needed to start to be kosher. So let's say a person takes, a bush, some kind of material that grows on a bush, canvas, and he makes a canvas cloth out of it. Oh, so cloth is mekabel tumah. Okay. So canvas cloth is davar mekabel tumah. It's no good this time. Let's say he has strings that are made from canvas. Let's say he'll have a hemp cord that grew from the ground, and it's gedulah karak, it's taller, same mekabel tumah. String cord is not mekabel tumah. It's not a beged. Let's say he'll just take such a string and he'll use it as the schach. I'll take chavolim, strings, and use it as schach. So in Atayr, the Gemara seems to say that it would be good. But the Gemara, the Rambam learns pshat in the Gemara that it's no good with the Rabbanu. Why is it no good with the Rabbanu? Because it's mishtana. Since it's now in a completely different state, it doesn't look like it, its original state when it grew from the ground. So davish mishtana, it doesn't look like it's gedulei karak anymore. So it's lost its status with the Rabbanu, when Machmad lost its status as gedulei karak. So it's no good for schach. However, since this psul is only with the Rabbanon, the Shulchan Aruch quote the Ritzvo and the Prima Gadim who have a kula based on this. We have another Gemara. The Gemara says, not only are you not permitted to be misachech b'psule sach, if it's not gedulei karak, if it's still mechuber, or if it's dova hamakabel tumah, the Gemara has a machlokes whether you're permitted to be mamid the sach, the dova hamakabel tumah, or the non gedulei karak, to have the sach supported and held up by something which is mekabel tumah. Let's say I have a metal frame of a sukkah, and I put my schach on top of the metal frame. So the metal is no good. Metal pipes are no good for schach because it's not gedulei karak, it's karka. Metal is karka, but it's not gedulei karak. It doesn't grow from the ground. It is the ground. It's a chunk of earth. It's mekabel tumah also, right? The metal pipes would be mekabel tumah also. Right? So the metal pipes would be no good on two accounts. Number one, it's mekabel tumah, you say. Number two, that it's not gedulei karak. So the Gemara now has a machlekes amoroim. Are you allowed to be mamid the schach on davar hamakabel tumah? So that's a machlekes. So la'aloche, the rov ha'poskim hold that it's okay. And Shulchan Aruch says mikra din it's okay, but we're machmal hatchila. Not to allow the schach, not to be mamid your schach on davar hamakabel tumah, on psul ischach. Why? That's one opinion in the Gemara, and lahatchila b'choshish for that. Mikra din it's really good, but lahatchila b'choshish for that. What is the reason for that shita that you're not only not allowed to use davar mekabel tumah for the actual stock, you're not allowed to be mamid with the davar mekabel tumah? So that seems to be machlekes Rashi and the Ran and Sukkah. Rashi comments that the davar hamamid, that's the ikar of the schach, that's what holds up the whole schach. So if you're mesache, if you're mamid, if you support the schach with davar mekabel tumah, and if you remove that, the whole schach would collapse. So you're making your schach kosher, idei psuli schach, so it's no good. So Rashi, the way he describes it, sounds like he holds it. It's a din deraisa. If Yosef Engel points out the Rashi, Rashi describes on that Gemara as if that opinion that we're choshish for lahatchila were a din deraisa.
What if you use the metal to support wood and use the wood to support schach? In other words,
We'll get to it. So the Ran disagrees with Rashi, and the Ran's opinion is the one that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rashi is not quoted. The Ran says on that Gemara that this din of mamid, even according to the Shita who holds from mamid, that we're machmal like lahatchila, doesn't mean to say that it's really a din deraisa. It's a din derabbanan. It's a gzeira derabbanan that you shouldn't be mamid the schach. The davar mekabel tumah, lest you'll be mesachei for that stuff itself. If you use that to support the schach, then you may use it for the actual schach itself. That's why the Ran is quoted by the Rambam Shulchan Aruch is saying that whether you have a chumrah mid derabbanan not to be mamid with davar mekabel tumah and so on, that's only if you use, let's say, metal pipes or something like that. Or you use a chveis, something that's shy to use for schach, so you're not allowed to use it as davar hamamid as haschach. But let's say I have brick walls. I have four apartment houses. And I have a backyard. And I just put the schach from one brick wall to the other brick wall. So what's supporting my schach? Bricks. And bricks are no good for schach. So you're going to tell me that I was mamid my schach, the psule schach, and bricks, so it's no good. Everybody makes a sukkah like that. So the Ran says that that's okay. If you're mamid ba'avonim, mamid schach on stones, or mamid bilavainim on bricks. And then everybody knows that you're not allowed to use stones or bricks for the roof. That's a house, that's not a sukkah. The since there's no hashash, Hashem will yavah the sachet po, so then there's no tzeira the rabbah. That's what the Ram. So in Shulchanot we pass like the Ram. We assume that this whole idea of Mamed is only a tzeira the rabbah. It's not a real din. That the Dabra Mamed is the Korah Shela Sukkah, that since that's holding up the whole Sukkah, so that too has to have the din of Abhershah Sukkah. We don't accept that Rashi. We follow the Ram's opinion that the whole din of Mamed, that we mach before the Hatzilah, is only a tzeira the rabbah, a tzeira Shema yavah the sachet po. So it's based on that rod that we have another cooler. Not only the cooler with the bricks or the stones, we have another cooler that if you want to be mamed b'schach, that's only possible with the Rabbanon, so that would be a gzeira l'gzeira. Not to be mamed b'schach, that's possible with the Torah, is already a gzeira. You're not allowed to be mamed with metal pipes. Gzeira shem yom l'sachet b'en. What if I want to have, let's say, strings that grew from the ground? I have strings that are going to do the character. The only thing is that it's nishtan. I want to have, let's say, a clothesline which is made from the karka cord tied on across the from one day from the Pacific to the other to hold up my stuff. So the Prima Godim, the Mishpura goes to the Prima Godim and the ritual say that that's okay. Because since the clothesline itself is Gidula karka, the only psul that it has for schach is only with the Rabbanon, so Benatari can be used for schach. So if you're going to tell me you cannot even be mounted with that, lest they'll use, if you have a cord that which is gedule karka, the only thing is that it's no good for stopping the rabban because it's nishtana, so then the Mishnah Berurah says, la locha, that you can use that for the mamid. To hold together, you stop.
Isn't there a problem with the mat connected to the cord
there in the Mishnah says in Sukkah that it depends why they were manufactured. If they were manufactured to be rugs or carpets to sit on or to walk on, then it's a kli. That's mekabel tumas medrash, so it's dava mekabel tumah. Dovah Mekabel Tumah is no good for Schach when Atari. But if it was specially made for Schach, then it's not considered a Kli. Then the Mishnah says that it's okay. If it was made, let's say, for Venetian blinds, so then Ramosha has a tshuva. So he says, let's say you have bamboo blinds. So the bamboo itself is Dovah Shein Mekabel Tumah, even if you make a Kli out because it's shooting. Even if you make a kli out because it's shooting. flat piece of bread, the menatera, that's not mekabel tumah at all, because it's pshuti kliyeh, it's a kliyeh. It doesn't have a base kibul, it doesn't have a toe, it's not carved out. You have a wooden spoon that has a depth to it, or you have wooden plates that have depth to them, so that would be considered, or the Dixie cup itself, which is a wooden, no, a paper cup, which is a wooden kliyeh, so that can contain something, so that's mekabel tumah. But if you have just a Dixie cup spoon that's flat, or you have a flat, piece of bread, the menatera, that's not mekabel tumah at all, because it's pshute kliyeit, it's a kliyeit. It doesn't have a base kibble, it doesn't have a toe, it's not carved out. You have a wooden spoon that has a depth to it, or you have wooden plates that have depth to them, so that would be considered, or the Dixie cup itself, which is a wooden, you know, a paper cup, which is a wooden kli, so that can contain something, so that's mekabel tumah. But if you have just a Dixie cup spoon that's flat, or you have a flat board that you cut bread on, that's a pshute kliyeit, it's a kliyeit that's flat, so that's not mekabel tumah. However, the board that you cut the challah on, that's mekabel tumah in the rabbanon. Taisus says in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah, quotes the Taisus in Sukkah daf hey, that if you have pshute kliyeit rechovim, if it's a wide piece of wood that you can hold something on, you can put the challah on, you can put something on, like a tray, so then it's mekabel tumah in the rabbanon. And not only may you not use if you have done something which is the kabbalah with the rabbanon, so you're not allowed to use the schach with the rabbanon. So let's say such a thing you could use to be mamid the schach. If you have, let's say, if it turns out a crazy case, you have a challah, you have a breadboard that you cut bread on, so that's a pshutik kliyeitz. It's only the kabbalah with the rabbanon because pshutik kliyeitz bechavim. So you could use that to be mamid the schach. Or let's say if that would break, let's say I had a wooden pot, a big wooden pot that I held pencils in or something, whatever, and then the thing broke. So once it broke, so it's not mekabel tumah anymore. So it's gidulei karka and it's talush. It's any mekabel tumah, so it's good for schach and atara. But the Gemara says that with the rabbanon, you're not allowed to use shivrei kelim for schach because of exera. People think if you can use shivrei kelim and it looks like the original kli, you can use the kli itself. So here the poskim have the same kula. What if you have a kli which was only mekabel tumah with the rabbanon in the first place? I had, let's say, a wide breadboard, and then I smashed it to little tiny pieces. So now it's a shivrei kelim of a kli, which was only mekabel tumah in the first place with the rabbanon. So there you may use that for schach. That would be a gzeirah l'gzeirah if you'd say that even such shivrei kelim you can't use. Exactly. Or the poskim are also make, or let's say I have shivrei kelim, let's say I had a regular bed, a mahogany piece of furniture, had a dresser or something. Mamash adov mekabel tumah. It's not a pshutik kliyeit, it has a base kibble. And then I smashed it to little bits. So the din is the shivrei kelim may not be used. I have a bed and I broke it to little pieces, a wooden bed and I broke it to pieces, may not be used, shivrei kelim is no good. What happens if I broke it to such tiny particles that it doesn't even look like it ever came from a kli? It looks like a just plain piece of board. So if you broke it to the extent that it's now nishtameh, and it doesn't remind you at all of its original state, so then the post will make all as well, because the whole time for the gzeir of shivrei kelim, ayim sachech and boi, is gzeir Hashem yisachech the kli atzmai, because this looks like the original kli. But if it's nishtan, it doesn't look like the original kli, it just looks like a plain piece of wood. So then there's no zera on shivrei kelim.
Why is that made for a rug? It's mekabel tumah, it's pshutik kliyeitz.
It's made for a rug, even though pshutik kliyeitz is mekabel tumah, that's din of medris. So much medris, it does not have the din of basic. So again, Rav Moshe has in his tshuva that if you have, let's say, Venetian bamboo blinds, so the fur that the most it can be is pshutik kliyeitz. So Moshe says, however, that if it has cloth strips that connect the pieces together, like over here, so if the cloth is such that it's mekabel tumah, then the whole bamboo is also mekabel tumah. He quotes Mishnayos like that. Mishnayos and Rambam's like that. He says, then it would be possible in a Torah. But if it doesn't have pieces of cloth, strips of cloth on the side to hold it together, it just has string, let's say, so then it's not mekabel tumah because agav the cloth, then l'chor is just plain pshutik kliyeitz. So the Rav Moshe is not sure what the din is. He's noita l'hachmi, he thinks that maybe it's no good. And others on Mekel, they say that it is good, that it's considered dovah she'en mekabel tumah. Rav Moshe thinks that it's mekabel tumah with the Rabbanon. And others think that it's not.
What's the problem with that normal piece of wood uses cloth? Is it trims dovah she'en or maybe...
Normal piece of wood is good. What's wrong? It depends how big the wood is. The Mishnah has exera the Rabbanon. That if you, Taisa says, why don't you make a, the Mishnah says in Sukkot. Thank you. You all know who that is?
No.
He's the editor of the R.J. Tishon, Rabbi Cohen. Rabbi Al Cohen. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. The Mishnah says that if it rains on Sukkot, it's a simen ra. Ke'ebed ha-mozik kos l'rabo, like an ebed who wants to serve his master, and he pours a cup of wine and he gives it to the master takes the cup of wine and he spills it back in the ebed's face. Says, I don't want your service. So when we come, we made a sukkah, we prepare, and then we come to sit in the sukkah, All of a sudden it starts to pour. So it's if the Rebbeinu Shalom says, don't do me any favors, I don't want your mitzvahs, go home, go back home, don't do me any mitzvahs. That's how the Mishnah describes in the Sukkah. The first can say that maybe it only applies in Eretz Yisrael because it's not yet the rainy season. All summer, Mamash doesn't rain. But in other countries where it rains all year long, depending on the clouds, sometimes rain, sometimes doesn't rain, so then it's not necessarily a simen ra. That's what Achrayim said. So Tosfos asks on that Mishnah, why is it a simen ra? What do you mean? Why does it say? Why is the halacha that if it's raining, you put them in a sukkah? Why is rain a simen ra? Why don't you make a sukkah? Take a piece of wood, a flat piece of wood, let's say on the level of the rice. Mid the rabbanon, they have pshut to clear its rechavim, so it's mekabel tumah. But it's mekabel tumah the rabbanon. But on the level of the rice, it's not mekabel tumah. So why is this a simen ra on the level of the rabbanon? No. It means on the level of the rice, it's a simen ra. So for Tosfos says, why? Just take yourself a big board of wood and cover over the whole roof of the sukkah with a board of wood. It's gidulei karka, it's tovish, and it's dovish and mekabel tumah. Now the Torah, pshut tikle etz, it's not mekabel tumah. Why don't you just use a big piece of plywood for the whole schach? Old sail. Silasa merubah mehamasa, 100%, it's old sail. So that's Tosfos chiddush. Tosfos on the first daf says that maybe it's possible if it can't rain in. Tosfos has a chiddush. Maybe if it doesn't rain in, it's possible, because the Mishnah says if it rains on sukkahs, it's a simera. So why is it a simera? What so be it? Make a roof so it won't rain in. So Tosfos says from that Mishnah would appear that if you made a sukkah and the schach is so thick that it can't rain in, it sounds a little bit that it's possible. That's why should it be possible? So the Pashtus says that that's not called schach, that's called a tikra, that's called a bias. The sukkah means the chveis, the diras aroi. It's not supposed to be such a solid roof. Based on this din, there's Gzeira de Rabbanon. That's what you're referring to. The Mishnah has what he's referring to. Gzeira de Rabbanon, the Gzeiras Neser. You're not only not allowed to use one piece of plywood for the whole schach, that the Tosfos thinks that maybe that's possible in our Torah. It has to be, you have to have a little bit of holes there, that it should be able to rain in a little bit. Tosfos says, maybe for the Yevit. Tosfos holds that even for the Yevit, the silk is possible if it can't rain in. Other Rishonim disagree. So now the Mishnah even goes further, that you're not even allowed to use separate boards if each one of the boards is 4 tefachim wide. That's called Gzeiras Nesorim. Because in the times of the Mishnah, they used to use such wide boards that were 4 tefachim wide to construct houses with them. And you want the sukkah to be nikkur, that it's not a house, not a bayis shekol yimos hashana kula, it's only a sukkah. So you have to use dafke beams or posts that are less than 4 tefachim. And then the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah quotes the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, it's one of the Balei HaBeis, has a further chumrah, that although Bizman HaMishnah they only used to construct houses with beams that were 4 tefachim wide, whatever was less than 4 tefachim wide, there's no Gzeiras Nesorim, there's no Gzeiras Tikra on it, because in the times of the Mishnah they never used that for construction. But in the times of the Balei HaBeis in France and Germany, they used to make little bungalows with 2x1s, whatever, they were 2 inches wide, or 3 inches wide, was 4 tefachim wide. What Tochum is 15, 16 inches wide. It's a big thing. So the Rishonim say that since Bizman and Balei HaTosfos, they used to use even narrower slats of wood for constructing their homes, that they made their own chumrah, that you shouldn't use such slats of wood either for the schach because of the Gzeiras Tikra. Because it looked like the base of Shokol HaShana Kula. So the guy will start to wonder, what do I have to sit in the sukkah? I can sit in my house. It looks the same. Right. So the fashion is that today in our normal homes we never see the beams. If you never see the beams, it never looks like a tikva. Never looks like a gzeiras nesorim that's found in the Mishnah that if you have a board of wood that's 4 tefachim wide, you're not allowed to use that gzeiras. That's a gzeiras hatanan. But the chumah that the Rishonim introduced, they shouldn't even use smaller beams. And our houses, they never see, even if they do build them with wood, they're always covered over with the plaster or the wallpaper or something. You have a bungalow once in a while you see the wood. Normally you never see the wood. So the Pashto says we don't observe that. But the bamboo has a base kippur. And the Mogen Avraham quotes Poskim who say based on Mishnah that that doesn't count as a base keeper. It wasn't manufactured bidei Odom with the intention of serving as a base keeper. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Mogen Avraham, from the earlier Akronim, from the Mishnah, that that's okay. The That doesn't count as a base tier. The question is, in this din of mamid, the Shulchan Aruch says that l'chadchili shouldn't be mamid nistach on the metal poles, because the metal poles on the kabel tumen is not going to do the karka, and it's posel to schach min ha-teira. So you should be machmir not to be mamid nistach on the metal poles. But the yevid mikra din is kosher, but l'chadchili were machmir not to use such a sukkah that you were mamid nistach on psuli schach. So the shaila is, what if you have a mamid de mamid? What if I have a metal frame, and then I put, let's say, four poles of slats of wood right on top of each one of the tfanas of the sukkah, and then I put all the staff resting on top of those four poles of wood. So the staff is held up by the four poles of wood, which in turn are held up by the metal bars. So the Shulchan Aruch calls that mamid de mamid. The thing that's holding up the staff is not good to staff. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the classical person say that that's okay. They say, based on the Ramban of Sukkah, that Mamed the Mamed is okay. The Chazanish, in his Sefer and Aruch Haim, tanya that they all misread the Ramban. And he quotes here the whole Lashon of the Ramban. And the Pashto says that he's reading it right. The Chazanish is reading it right, that they never said Mamed the Mamed is. The Ramban never said Mamed the Mamed is. We're talking about a different thing. If the floor of the Sukkah is Davar Mekabel Tumah, of course that's okay. That's Mamed the Mamed. But the Chazanish tanya, it doesn't make sense. What are you going to distinguish? You're going to say the bamboo on top, or the branches on top are the staff. The four poles on the side are mamed the staff. And the metal frame is holding up the poles which are holding up the staff. He kind of said the four poles themselves are part of the staff. Four poles themselves, so he kind of said it doesn't make sense. If you believe in this institution of mamed the mamed, so why do you ever have any problem with mamed the mamed? Just put a lot of staff, a thick layer of staff, say that the bottom inch of the staff is the mamed, and the top inch of the staff is the staff. He says there is no such cloth. The whole depth of the staff, the whole thickness of the staff, is called staff. It's not called mamid de mamid.
The original mamid is
possibly. Yeah, if the original mamid is only possibly the rabbanon, then we're mekel. Right, then between the gadim and the ritzvah, mekel, but there's no thing of mamid to stop possible. But if the original mamid is metal frames are not good for Minatera for two reasons, because it's mekabel tumah, and also because it's saying you do the minaret, so then you're not supposed to look at it, you're supposed to be mamid to stop. I'm a metal frame. So most people are makel, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. They put beams, wooden beams, and then they put the stock on top of the beams, and that's in the Mishnah Berurah code. So in the classical person, that's mamid and mamid. And those who are machmir for the Chazon Ish do it in such a way that they won't have their, they have a wooden beam.
Can you make the four of these slats of wood shalom, and they're holding up the staff, shalom l'shem staff, which I have to sustain?
Yeah.
Because I don't want those three staff.
Oh, shalom l'shem staff.
I don't want those three staff.
Doesn't matter, the whole staff can be shalom l'shem staff.
No, I mean, here Dafke, like, it's not the thing about, you mean, so these four beams, he wants the staff to be the staff, whatever he puts up on top.
Yeah.
But these beams, Dafke doesn't want
them. Fact, this is a wooden
So beams are from wood, it would be alright. What happened, like, they would nail the beams together with nails. The nails, since the nails do cover the metal part, they...
The nails don't hold up there.
Is there a problem with the
circle? It was called the Chazon Ish circle.
Wooden pegs.
He had a circle, so he had a regular circle with no roof.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, he had a frame of a wooden frame that was held together with wooden pegs.
Wooden pegs.
And no metal. Then he put the sock on the outside frame.
Yeah. My father had a bottle. The president of my father's shul manufactured caskets. Anybody has to make a living? He wanted my father to get him the OU Hashgach on his caskets. What's that? The OU Hashgach? He was the only one at that time who manufactured wooden caskets with wooden pegs. Biggest chum in the world. According to the Pasuk, Nikra, then you can bury a person in a metal casket also. It says on Shulchan Aruch. It says on the Gemara. There's nothing wrong. We have a meaning that we bury in wooden caskets. Ad kidei kach, you have to have wooden pegs. Chumra, agavi chumra. Nah, mukhi. Nah, the Pashto says it's a big chum. People like to be machmer on things. But the Chazon Ish who has this chumrah, has along with this chumrah kula. he says that it's only called mamid if the skach is not held up without the dov hamkabel tumah. So take for example, let's say I have a sukkah like this, and my skach, if the skach is so long that it's held up by the tfanos like so. So I have wooden defanos, and the skach is held up. The only thing is that I'm afraid the wind is going to blow, and the skach is going to fall off. But then let's say I'll take nails, which are not going to be a character, which are possible to stop me from a Torah. I'll take nails, and I'll nail in the skach to the tfanos to make sure that the wind doesn't blow them off. So then the Chazanish said, that's okay, that's not called mamid, the skach posel. That's not called mamid. Mamid b'skach posel means, if without the davar mamid, I wouldn't have skach at all. But I have the skach. The only thing is, the skach is right now kosher. I want to prevent any psul from creeping into the skach, so that he says that that's not mamid. When would it be mamid? If I have skach that's too small to be held up by on top of the tfanis. The tfanis are over here and the skach is going to fall through. So I have this skach over here, and then I put in a nail on this side of the joifin to hold the skach up. And if I pull out the nails, the skach will just fall down on the ground. So the Chazon Ish claims that's the only case that it's called mamid, the skach puzzle. But if the skach is sitting on top anyway, and I just add the dov ha-puzzle in order to make sure that it doesn't fly away, the schach doesn't wave in the wind and become chamasa merube, or doesn't fall down on the floor. So he's mako. That kula is against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says the fair is that that's not good. Shulchan Aruch says if you have all of your schach sitting properly on top of the sukkah, and you're afraid that the wind is going to blow it away, and then you take a big ladder and you put the ladder sideways diagonally on the schach to make sure that nothing falls away. So we're machmir that that's called mamid b'schach pasul, because there's a shaila. Maybe a ladder is in kabbal tuma. It's a shaila in the Rishonim. If a ladder is mekabel tumah, so then you're being mamid yischach, but davar hamekabel tumah. Why are you mamid yischach? The schach was there already. The ladder is just placed on top of the schach to weigh it down, that it won't become nifsal. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold like that. The Shulchan Aruch has a chumra here. That too is called mamid. And the Chazon Ish disagrees. He claims that this is not called mamid. So although he has a chumra, he throws in a kula as well.
Does it make a difference whether the metal would touch the mamid or not? Would it make a difference? The second mamid, does it make a difference whether the metal would touch it?
What do you mean, touch it?
Like sometimes the canvas, which
the canvas is not strong enough to hold up the skach. The skach is not held up by the metal.
But it's like the metal and your
that doesn't work. Even according to the paskim who are making a mamid de mamid, that's still called the mamid. That's not called mamid.
Why is it called?
He says, what if you have the canvas walls are covering up the metal frame on top? Right. The thing is, it doesn't help. First of all, the canvas is mekabel tumah also. The canvas is dov mekabel tumah.
That's all.
That's not
mekabel tumah. Is the canvas
a cloth? Cloth is mekabel tumah like that.
What do you say before about rope?
Rope is not mekabel tumah. It's not a beggar. The canvas is a sheet of cloth. Sheet of cloth is not mekabel tumah. So it's also mekabel tumah. But even if it weren't, even if you have some synthetic material, let's say, it's also possible to exclude skach because it's not going to be a karka. The thing is, it has to be held up by the mamid, the mamid. But over here, if you just cover up the mamid, that doesn't make any difference.
I have something like the Chazon Ish. So if you have wooden boards on top of the metal, just between the metal and the boards, you have a slot. If you have boards on top of the metal,
If you have cloth that grew from the ground, even though it's not mekabel tumah, you shouldn't use it for schach because it's nishtaneh. So some say that maybe painted schach also shouldn't be used. If you just shellacked it and it retained its original color, you painted it with a clear thing that's not nishtaneh. But if you painted it in a different color, so then some person say that that's also called nishtaneh, because in Baba Kama that's called the shinui for a ganav. If a ganav steals a piece of furniture and he paints it a different color, the Mishnah says that's called the shinui. So some person want to say that you shouldn't use painted schach for a sukkah, because it's also called nishtaneh. It's a shaila in person.
What about those cool contacts or things like that, made of metal or things like that, in the
schach? Yeah, why do you put the thumbtacks in?
Decorations.
That's okay.
Even though the schach now has metal on it?
No,
thumbtacks on top of the stock is not. No. Shilas, if you put in thumbtacks to hold up the scot, and if you take out the thumbtack, the scot will fall down, or the scot will become fossil because it will move around. That's called, that's a shilas mamet. And you can sit in mamet, the scot falls. The Gemara says that the scot has to be some of the tfanis. How many tfanis do you have to have? So the din is you have to have three defanos. The din is shtayim kilchos meshlishes afilu. Tefach shtayim kilchos means an L shape. You have to have at least two walls. Each one is 7 tefachim long over here, an L shape. And then the third one has to be a tefach, but it has to be placed at such a distance from the other one. And then you have to have a tzuras ha-pesach in between. It's a big complicated mess. So that's why the Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch, as a minig, we never get involved in that. We never have a sukkah. We don't allow a sukkah shtayim kilchos meshlishes afilu tefach. Is that a piece of chalk? No. The pasuk means like this: if you have an L-shaped sukkah, and then you add on the third doifen over here, and you need a tzuras ha-pesach between this little bit of the wall and the bottom of the wall over here. So because it's a big pirchen, it's a big shilas, one of the kashim, one pasuk, so the Rambam says you shouldn't get involved in that. You should have gimel defana shlemas. You should have three full walls without any shilas. Three full walls, you can have an opening in the wall also. You can have an entrance way to walk into the wall. However, the entrance way should still be by the Guruv al-Apari. Yikaradin Shtaim Kilchasim. Kilchasim means an L shape. Shlishas Hafilu Tefach, you don't put it over here. Shlishas Hafilu Tefach, this has to be 7 tefachim, minimum. This has to be 7 tefachim more. And then you can have one tefach over here, and then put a Tzuris HaPesach in here. That's a big tircha. It's a big pain in the neck to have like that. And that's why the Rambam says you have all three shlemos. Solve all the problems. Now the shlemos, you should have the korban also, but the meaning is you have to have at least three shlemos. So now the Shulchan says, what if you have an opening in order to walk in? You have a doorway here. So that's okay. But you should think to it that you should have Oymed Meruv Bala Paras. Let's say this is going to be, this will be 10 Tvachim, this will be 10 Tvachim, this will be 5 Tvachim the opening. So that's okay. You have 20 Tvachim standing and 5 Tvachim missing. But if you have the whole length of the thing is 25 Tvachim, then you have the opening in the middle is 15 Tvachim. The whole opening is 15 Tvachim. Then you only have five over here and five over here. So you have parts meruv ala emet. So then it's no good. Then the sukkah will only be kosher when the door is closed. When the door is open, so the sukkah is no good. Then you won't be allowed to close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because when you close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're being machshir your sukkah. You're making segmar on Shabbos and you're creating the sukkah. It's an issue. It's a halacha. Even if you have a tzuris ha-pesach is no good for sukkah. Tzuris ha-pesach is good for Shabbos. The air, but it's not good for flying, but it's not good for sukkah. Unless it's for sukkah, you need a real day.
Yeah.
It has to be 7 by 7. You have to be able to describe a square of 7 by 7. I'm pretty sure.
Is there
any maximum size of the part? 10 amas. Yeah, can't be more than 10 amas. 10 amas a lot. Two conditions, has to be less than 10 amas. It has to be oymed meruv ala paras. And I think there's a third condition, you got to look in Shulchan Aruch. It's not so pashut. That the opening should not be flush with the wall over here. I think that's a din. Let's say I have a sukkah that goes like this. Then I have stach on top. So I think the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Gemara, that that's not good. I think you have to have a bit of a wall over here.
How much is that
on? I don't remember. You got to look in Shulchan Aruch.
Is that only
if you have three walls, or if you have four walls? No, you
have to
have three out of the walls, should be good.
Oh, so if you have a four wall sukkah, you should have
a
door anywhere.
Yeah, so you just disregard that. But you have to have three full walls. Yeah. So now there's a din that the fanos have to be touching the schach. Fanos have to be touching. It doesn't necessarily have to touch, it has to be within three tefachim. Within three tefachim of the schach, and I say it's lower. It means it has to be within 3 tefachim this way, and outside, sideways. You have the tefanos over here, and the schach doesn't reach. So if the schach, this is a very common shaila, you buy schach and you don't have enough. So the people sit in the middle of the sukkah, so they put the schach thick over there. And then around the edges, they have empty space. If you have empty space, sometimes it can be bad for the Jews. If you have a haftaka of 3 tefachim, and you can't say lovewood, so your tefanos are not mitzuruf to the schach, so the whole sukkah is no good. The whole sukkah will be no good in such a case.
So,
Rabbi Alpin has a person whom he knows personally from his neighborhood, I think. He's a Talmid Chacham and a Reish Lakish. He asked the boy to let him twice. Within that discussion, within that discussion has to be within three tefachim to the defanos, means sideways. That the defanos over here, the discussion has to be within three tefachim. But the other way, the lamailo, there is no such thing. Let's say I have the tefanos over here, and the discussion is way up there. As long as the staff is directly above, then I say good as the mechitzes. The mechitzes are over here. Allah says I can extend them. I can imagine as if I extend them straight up, and the sukkah will be kosher. As it did of Burakas also. The tefanos do not have to be touching the ground. However, the Gemara says if the tefanos are suspended above three tefachim above the ground, then the sukkah is no good. The tefanos must begin with three tefachim to the ground. Once they begin with three tefachim to the ground, and they have to go at least 10 tefachim tall, then they don't necessarily have to reach all the way to the sukkah. Shana Shulchan Aruch is like this. What happens if you have, it's a very common shana, what happens if you have the tefanos that don't reach all the way up to the schach, but the schach doesn't go directly above the tefanos. The schach is over here. So if the tefanos would have been all the way up, then the schach would have been within three tefachim of the deitim. But the tefanos don't go all the way up. You have to say, good achis, good asik mechitz, that visualizes as if your deitim of the sukkah is going further up than it really does go. And then you're saying that the schach is within lovul to that imaginary line that you're drawing up. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's okay. You even say both at the same spot. You say gur achis, you say gur asik mechitza, you visualize as if the daifin is going up, and you also visualize as if the schach were touching the daifin at that point where it's going up. But the kiveger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch has a taina that according to the Ran, this should be no good. He claims based on the Ran, this should be no good. He doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch said that it's good if the Ran holds that it's no good. But some later posts can claim that it's not true, that the Ran never said it, the Ran said a different thing. And others are machmir for Rabbi Kiveger's son. This is a very common shot that the tefanos don't touch all the way up. And the schach doesn't go over the spot, but the tefanos would have bumped into it, even if the tefanos would have gone all the way up. There is another din in Sukkah that you have to know, din of Doifin Akuma. The din is that the tefanos don't necessarily have to be touching the schach kosher at the edge. Let's say I have a Sukkah. Let's say I have a sukkah in the courtyard of a building, and let's say there's a ledge over the building that sticks out a few inches, and the ledge is chach pasul. The ledge is bricks, a stone, or whatever, cement, concrete, like the ledge over there. So the part of the sukkah that's constructed on top of your tefanos below the ledge is not kosher to sit under that, because you have a regular roof on top that's pasul. So what you'll have is, let's say, looking from the roof, you'll have such a sukkah. You have a ledge over here and a ledge over here. So the schach under that will be no good. So only the schach over here will be good. So your doifen is over here. There's one doifen, here's another doifen. Here's the third doifen, the fourth doifen. And the schach doesn't begin till here. So that, let's say there's a big hapsik of more than three tefachim in between the point where the schach begins to be kosher, because the schach that's under the ledge, although it's kosher schach, but it's not good because it's schach lamatim and abayis. It's like in a conservative synagogue. Under the roof, so it's no good. So you have a daven over here, and you have a hafsaka of more than three tefachim before your schach kosher begins. So the Gemara has a twist, and the Gemara says that's good. When is the halacha that the schach has to be within three tefachim to the tefanos in order to say lavud? The schach should be contiguous and touching the tefanos al pidin. That's only if there's avir, if there's empty space over there. But if you have no empty space, you have schach. The whole sukkah is covered with schach, except that the schach on the edges is schach posel. Why is it schach posel? Because it's schach shetachas habayis. So if it's schach posel, then the din is that up until dalet amos, that's an awful lot, up until a hapsok of dalet amos, we would allow doifen akuma. Why? We consider it as if the doifen, the walls of the sukkah go like this, and then sideways, up until dalet 4 amos. Then the wall of the sukkah goes up, and of course up until dalet amos, and then the schach begins over here. Here's my schach. So the halacha is that that's good. But if it's more than dalet amos, if you have more of a hefsek than dalet amos, then it's not good. This is important sometimes. I visited one of the fancy shuls downtown a couple of years ago on the Falamite Sukkahs, and we saw that the sukkah wasn't good. They had a big sukkah there. The sukkah was mamash pasim and atayr. Because they had a sukkah, they had a roof on top of it to protect it. Then when the people ate in the sukkah, so they opened up the roof. So if they have a lot of people, so the equinox, they will open up both roofs. They only have a few people, so they only set up a table on one side, and they left the other roof closed. And because the other roof was closed, that the wall on that side wasn't mitzuruf to the schach, because the hafsaka was more than dalar amos away. And the way the sukkah was constructed, they needed that wall. Without that wall, the sukkah wouldn't be gush.
What, three other walls?
All you need are three walls for the sukkah.
Right,
the fourth wall, you don't.
Side, you could have had the sukkah.
That's okay. So yeah, the din is you just can't sit under. You can't sit under the schach puzzle. That's okay. But if you have three walls, each of the three walls are within four amis to the schach kosher, and in between the schach kosher and the walls, you have schach puzzle. You don't have just plain empty abba. You have schach puzzle. Then it's okay. However, here's where the Ran does speak. Now the Ran takes over.
Just sitting on this side of the sukkah.
So now the Ran does say something. Now the Ran says beferish on this case. A lot of times people construct sukkahs and they don't have the fan is going all the way up to the sky. So the Gemara says that that's okay. They just say good achzik mechitza. Once you have the mechitza starts within the fan starts within 3 tefachim to the ground. And they go up 10 tefachim tall, so even though they don't reach the schach, I visualize as if I stretch it out. Good asik mechitza, as if I stretch up the mechitza and it extends. But now the Ran says, however, what if I have the fanes that don't reach up to the schach? And even when the schach does begin on top, I have schach posel on the side. Let's say I have a ledge on top. I have some kind of schach posel above it. Even though I have all schach kosher, but that part of the schach kosher that's below the schach posel is also counted as schach posel. So if it's less than 3 tefachim, so I say, love it, it's good. What happens if it's more than 3 tefachim here? So you have to rely on the akuma. So the Ran says, this you're not allowed to say. That you're going to say, good, asik, mechitza, and a doifen akuma, that doesn't work. That's the Ran's case. That the Ran says, the favorish is not there. And Rabbi Kiveger extended that Ran. Rabbi Kiveger said that just like the Ran says, you don't say, good, asik, in order to say a doifen akuma, you can't say two halachas l'moshe m'sinai, behadodi, behadi hadodi, together to combine. But because they want to extend it to say who are the Nami, if you have the situation where the funnels don't touch all the way up to the top, to the start, and the start is a little bit to the side, so you're going to have to say good asik with a logo. Because they thought that that's the same as the Ranskin, just like good asik with a Leifan Kul is no good, so good asik with a logo is also no good. So I'm offering a time that it's not right. That even the Ran who is Machmer only said it by Leifan Akuma. The Ran just saying, how can you say that that's a Deifan Akuma? Deifan Akuma is if the wall continues to go up and then it bends over. And I say the whole thing is a Deifan Akuma. But if the wall doesn't even go up so high, the wall goes till here. Then I have Sach Puzzle over here. How can you declare with your wildest imagination that this is a Deifan Akuma, a crooked wall? How is it a crooked wall? The wall ended over here. It doesn't even continue. How can you apply the din? That's what the Ran meant to say. The Ran, some Achrayim want to say the Ran didn't mean to say Trei Hilchasa Bahali Hadodi Ilay Aminam. And you can't say two Halachas Lamashim Messina if each one needs the other one. He just meant to say, how can you call this a Deifan Akuma if it's not continuous? If the Schach Puzzle is here, the Deifan doesn't even reach it, so that's not a Deifan Akuma. The Rambam quotes a din in Shulchan Aruch that a lot of people never heard of and people violate all the time. The Rambam quotes a din that when you construct these sukkah, you have to put up first the Defanis and then the Schach. Because we have a din of Tasa V'Lam in Ha'osui, that the Asiyas Ha'Schach should be Maksha the sukkah. So if you have a tfana, if you put on first skach, and the sukkah is not kosher yet until you have your 3 tfanas later, and then your sukkah becomes kosher by making the tfanas. And at the time you made the skach, the time you put the skach on, the sukkah was not yet kosher. So the Ramah says that that's a chashash psul of tasev lemin hosu. The people who put up the skach before they put up the tfanas are shal of tasev lemin hosu. So the Ramah says this as a hiris l'chadchila, the shal is what if b'dieved, what if somebody has a sukkah that was made like that and he didn't know that the din is that it's no good. Would the din state that it's really possible to be Yevit? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes Achrayim that it is possible to be Yevit as well. So he says that the Bach holds that it is not Bach, Magen Avraham, can't say it is not possible to be Yevit.
So you just play the Schach and push
it? Yeah. If you pick it up at Tefach and you lower it down, then it's good. Whenever you have Schach that's possible and also, you just Menaleh at Tefach, pick it up at Tefach and put it down, then it's good. Tefach is 4 inches. But if you didn't, let's say you have the Sukkah the way it is now, is it Kasha to be Yevit? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it as if Mishnah Berurah quotes Machlokes Achrayim. He presents it as if the Rov Achronim are not Lahachmir. The way the Mishnah Berurah presents it, he assumes that the Rov Achronim are Machmir hold that it's possible to be Yevit. And others say that it's not true. The Aruch HaShulchan laughs off the whole thing. He says the whole thing is only as a Hiris L'chatchila, and it definitely doesn't pass the B'riyeva. But L'chatchila, there is a din like that. Many people violate that L'chatchila. A lot of times it turns out that it's easy to put the Schach up before the Tfanis. So you should keep this in mind, that you're not supposed to do it like that. There is another din in Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara that people don't know. Din is that the Tfanis have to be sturdy to the extent Shalai Yisnadim Du Beruach Mitzuyah, that they shouldn't blow in the wind. And then it says the Farish in the Shulchan Aruch that even if your schach is in, even if your sukkah is in the backyard and there's no wind blowing at all, you have to measure this din by what the ruach mitzuyah would be if there weren't any walls here. Or even the kula, let's say, a fellow is on the ocean and he makes a sukkah on top of a boat and there the winds blow, there are bigger winds that blow, so the Gemara says you measure by the ruach mitzuyah by yabosha, you don't measure by the ruach mitzuyah shabayah. The halacha is,
falls down.
It's a different problem. If there's no wind,
right.
If there happens to be no wind today, but normally it's very windy, and the normal wind on the yam would have caused the tfanis to wave. But by Abasha, the normal wind would not cause it to wave. So the Gemara says that we kaveh the din is based on the ruach mitzuyah shebay Abasha. So the question is, what does this mean exactly? If you have the tfanis of the din in the Shabbos by mechitzas, and it's a din in the tfanis of the sukkah, that if the tfanis wave in the wind, so it's no good, what does that mean? So the Chazon Ish has a gewaltige kula that nobody before him ever heard of. All the poskim assume that it's not true. Chazon Ish says that it's only possible, the sukkah is only possible, or the mechitzas is only no good for Shabbos purposes, if the wind will cause it to wave so much that it will not have the heksha daifin and the heksha mechitzah. That will wave so much, it'll wave up, it'll flap up from the ground. It won't be within 3 tefachim to the ground, or the mechitza will not be 10 tefachim tall. But let's say you have a canvas sukkah, and the wind will blow and blow and blow, and it's still going to be the hechsher sukkah. So it'll blow, so what? So the canvas will blow like this. And the Israeli army, when they have to make an Erev quickly, an Erev Shabbos, so they use nets. It seems that soldiers always travel with nets. So they hang up nets on poles, and the net hangs to the ground. And then when the wind blows, the nets are very long. When the wind blows, the net blows like this. Then it blows some more, the net goes like this. It blows some more, it goes like this. It's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. So a crooked mechitza is also a good mechitza. And they're makel based on the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, the wind can huff and puff, and it still doesn't blow down the air. It's still good air, as long as it's 10 tefachim tall, and it's lovely. So you have good air. That's the Chazon Ish's kula. Chazon Ish is makel by sukkah and by Shabbos. But the classical poskim, Mishnah Brewer, with the Aruch HaShulchan, and all those before them, and in between them, and after them, and during them, they're all content that everybody else assumes that's up. The Pashtus and the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Paschim understood that Gemara is, that if the wind blows the thing back and forth, it's already no good, even while it's blowing, it still has the Hefshur Shuk. It's still no good. So the Shaila is, but everything blows a little bit. If the wind blows, everything is going to shake a little bit, so a little bit of shaking we do allow. So the Shaila is, how much shaking do you allow, and how much shaking do you not allow? That's the Pesach Shaila. But if you have, let's say, a canvas, let's say you have a canvas sukkah and it's not tied down well, and the wind is going to cause the thing to flap a lot, then you have a serious shadli sukkah that may be possible. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a chumra from the Rabbeinu Peretz, that you shouldn't use cloth as the tefanis of the sukkah, even if you tied it down very well, even though you tied it down very tightly, because we're afraid that cloth can always get untied and the wind will easily blow the cloth. You should always have sturdy tefanis for the sukkah. Shabbos in America, and now in Israel today, in our generation, it's a common practice that everybody uses these canvas tefanis for the sukkah. So the Shabbos, why are we making them? It's really against the Shulchan Aruch. Why are we making them? Rabbi Menashe Klein has a chew about this. Why do I
understand the Chazon Ish?
Based on the Chazon Ish? Not always. If it unties on the bottom, the wind can flap it to the extent that it won't be within 3 tefachim of the ground.
So you tie it down the bottom.
No, but the Rabbeinu Peretz says, even if you tie it down, we're afraid that it may get loose, and the wind may blow it, and you'll be in the middle of eating, and you won't realize that.
The Chazon Ish doesn't hold that,
the Chazon Ish holds
that, and it might come loose.
Yeah, that's the Chumrah and the Shulchan Aruch. Chazon Ish says a different verse. What's the Ikar Adin? He doesn't talk about the Chumrah of the Rabbeinu Peretz, not the Dula Hatir. He talks about B'nei'evet. What's the din when it's really possible? So he says the only time it's possible is if the wind blew it so much that it no longer has the hechsher doifen.
Right, so let's say it was tied on top. So why couldn't we make
the Iker HaDinah would be good, but the Rabbeinu Peretz has a chumrah that you're not allowed to rely on tying it down because you may not tie it down well enough. Maybe tie it down now and then the wind will loosen the knot and then you'll have a possible sukkah without realizing it. So the shaila is why we violate this lachatzila. A lot of people, many people violate this din lachatzila.
Even if the ruach won't, the ruach for sure won't be enough to open the knot.
That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. Even though you tied it so well that the ruach mitzui will not untie the knot,
so what's the hatchila
you should do.
What's the difference between tying it down for your breaking the wall?
Well, Rabbeinu Peretz says you should have solid walls. You shouldn't have cloth. Okay.
I understand, but if you have solid walls, the wind will blow.
He said that we're not choshish, the wind is going to blow those. But a cloth wall, that you choshish, the wind is going to untie the knots and the thing's going to start to flatten in. That's the chumrah of the Rabbeinu Peretz. And today, many people don't observe that chumrah. It's a problem. Why?
So what's the ideal
set? 30
walls.
You should have 3 30 walls. And the sash should be touching, and the sash should be wooden walls, right. The sash should be resting on the wooden walls, and the sash should be touching the wall, and within 3 feet to the wall. Otherwise, you have real shadows. A lot of students are really possible. According to the Shulchan Aruch. Leave that without an issue. A lot of sukkahs are really possible. It's already created. You have to hold a little bit in the right hand, you have to be left hand, and sit up like this. Well, listen, let the chazan say out loud, listen to the chazan say the Hashem is like
that. Maybe they're showing
Drish. Rabbi Gerard told us that he remembers in Drish, they only had one little bit of an Esrig, couldn't afford to, not like in the bench in America. So the chazan had a little bit of an Esrig, and he would go around Hakokis. And then one of the Balabatim would walk backwards in front of the house and hold the matzah that he should be able to say the Hashanah. Not that he shouldn't have to hold the matzah. He should have his both hands free. Should hold the lulav in the one hand and the esrog in the other hand. The whole halal was just when he did the nanuim.
What is the left?
Also regarding left knee is a machloik is what you do. So the first time you do it, you do it the way the Rav Apostol holds. You hold the left, you should hold the lulav in the left hand, and the esrog in the